Good morning. Thank you for joining this morning, this practice. So it's often during these initial moments of sitting that what's available is a very clear view of where attention is and what it in essence is tasting. Out on sounds, if there are any in your environment, down into the body, if sensations are what's prevalent, up in the mind, if the thought forms keep coming, and it's sometimes very easy to see if attention is in the sense field, the thought field, or in the more generalized field of perception, all kind of mixing. How permissive can we be with allowing attention to roam and do what attention does? There may be, automatic patterning that has come in given all of our spiritual training that says, no, don't listen to thoughts. And of course, that's another thought. And we the noticing can notice that. Or tension can be down in the body or something that hurts, something achy. And then there's a movement that says, no, don't give attention to that. That's just going to make it worse. And that's a thought. And we are right here noticing that. So for me, once I notice kind of where attention is roaming, I can listen for what mind is saying about that. It's fairly predictable that there will be some kind of color commentary. That it's good or bad, interesting or boring. Makes me happy, makes me less happy. Is it available to relax back, to dilate the aperture of the watching? And in essence, kind of fall back behind the what's happening. Thank you. noticing the what is. The quote from Adi Ashanti that we've contemplated on and off the last several weeks. It is the following. What is what's happening before you have a thought about it. So often and so quickly, what is gets mixed up with, blends with, kind of entwines into the thought about what is. What is what's happening before you have a thought about it. What is what's happening before you have a thought about it. So at some point, it may become obvious that the objects that move cross awareness are not just temporary, but fleeting. Thoughts get way more credit than they really deserve if you look at how momentary they truly are. They flit across the screen. It's the reactiveness to the thought that keeps it alive, not the thought itself. The thought doesn't stay long at all. But maybe we can look right at that the next time a thought comes. Count and see how long that thought really stays in the mind, in awareness. How long can you maintain contact with the thought the next time it comes? So I heard that's a bird. And I could maintain contact about 3 seconds. Then I just watched it start to fade. And then the next thought said, is that a different bird? Because the sounds are certainly different. And then that thought I could make contact with for about 3 seconds, maybe four. And then it just starts to pixel out. So we can notice that sometimes a thought comes, it's recognized, we make contact with it for however many seconds. But can you notice whether your number is 3 or 6 or 16? Whatever that thought was you were working with is not here now. It dissolves out. So we can notice that sometimes thoughts just dissolve out. And sometimes, as the thought's dissolving out, more thoughts about that thought come. Like with mine, it was, is a bird? And then, is that a different bird? There's then a thought stream that coalesces around the thought. Can we notice that? That sometimes that happens. And sometimes it's like a one-off. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes, when you look deeply enough for thoughts, they go away for a while so that you can't look. But they'll be back. And you can continue your field experiment. So the exercises, just how vibrantly can we experience that we are present to the thought? We are watching the thought. We know whether the thought's there, or the thought's dissolving away, or the thought's gone, or the next thought has come yet. That we know all that. We are watching that. The moment you recognize yourself as the watcher of that, you are being aware of awareness. It's as simple as that. You watch the thoughts come and go long enough. There's just simply no way you could fall into believing that you are that thought, that you are that temporary energy form of thought bubble that moves through, moves across the screen. Of you, the knower, you, the noticer, you, the watcher. We may not have clarity about what we are, but we have absolute clarity about what we are not. And we are not that temporary, fleeting, impermanent thought form. So the longer we stay tuned in to what is, the deeper the connection ongoingly to what is, and the fact that what is always what's happening before we have a thought about it, as the thought's moving across the screen of our minds, and as it dissolves away. And that gives us an opportunity to continually notice the difference between what the thought thinks about this moment and this moment as it is, before the thought offered its commentary, offered its interpretation, offered its judgment. Nisargadatta Maharaj puts it this way: the mind must learn that beyond the moving mind, there is the background of awareness which does not change. The mind must come to know the true self and respect it, and cease covering it up. The mind must learn that beyond the moving mind, there is the background of awareness, which does not change. The mind must come to know the true self and respect it, and cease covering it up. The mind must learn that beyond the moving mind, There is the background of awareness, which does not change. The mind must come to know the true self and respect it and cease covering it up. And then Nisargadatta gives a very simple, shorter method to do that. He says, to break the spell of the known, the knower must be brought to the forefront. To break the spell of the known, the knower must be brought to the forefront. And that points us directly to just a very simple self-inquiry process, right? Anytime something known pops across the screen, whether it's a thought or a feeling, a sensation, a narrative, a memory, an image, to what does that arise? By what is that known? What is it that knows that? So where I am, the known right now, most prominently is the sound of the birds. So what knows that sound? The answer comes me. And what is or who is this me? We just watch as attention doesn't really know what to do. A little bit of freeze tag. But there's a knowing that the background of awareness is just there, observing the whole thing. So there might be a sense of a me. But upon investigation, observation, I don't find some little miniature Anne sitting in the corner of this body. I don't find a separate entity, an independent little self. I don't find a me. But it's equally important to confirm and affirm what is found, which is this innate knowingness. I find a knower, not in form. Not with a shape or boundaries. I can't find that. find the ongoing process of knowing. Open, alert, welcoming, available, non-commenting. Non-reactive, non-judgmental knowingness, awareness, presence. And in making that direct contact with the knowing, the awareness, the presence, I break the spell of the known. Right, the seemingly magnetic hold that the object has on attention as it goes out. That gets broken, dissolved, released. And the knower, the knowing, is brought to the forefront. And that knowing, we can check to see. Doesn't need anything. Isn't pushing for something to be different. There's no attitude that something's missing or something more must be attained. It's just equanimous knowing. Knowing at rest in itself. Allowing what is known to come and go and expand and contract and move through like the wind. You would never try to catch the wind, but mind tries to catch thoughts or emotions or objects or forms. The nature of form is impermanence. So it's an impossibility. So when that's noticed, we ask, what sees that? What observes that? By what is that known? And we allow attention, watch as attention kind of pops off of the that which is missing or that which is needed. Kind of floats back. We're just readying ourselves for the sometimes sudden knowing of the real, the background of awareness, of the changeless, the unaffected. The ever-present. And in so doing, we break the spell of the known. And the knower is brought to the forefront. The knowing is seen clearly as what is. that brings us to the bottom of the hour. I thank you all for joining today.